It is good to see this community. For some of you, I've not seen you since December when my wife and I, Amy, we went out to the Riverdale campus. So it is good to be back here, to be able to open the Word. And if you are online, you're in this room, or you're in the family room, if you're a guest today, welcome. We want to invite you to text in the word connect to the number that you're going to see on the screen. Make sure that you text that in. We want to be able to send you a little note. We want to be able to know that you're here. It's very important to us that we know who's around. So thank you for being here and for choosing to worship with us today. Maybe you got a prayer request. We say this often, but every Monday morning, we gather together as a staff team, and we pray for the requests that come in. So you can text the word pray to the number on the screen, and we're going to be praying for your request. It is an honor to be able to do that. If you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Psalm 78. We are going to be jumping in. Our hope and desire this year, this summer series time that we're in, is that you're going to get a whole new list of songs for your life playlist. That's really, really important to us. Not just songs that you literally can listen to as a playlist, but also you've got songs from the Scripture. You know, this is a weird time. We are in a very unique season. It's been said now over and over, who would have thought 2020 would have looked like it is thus far? Well, we want you to have some psalms, some songs to help redefine what this whole year looks like that you can go back to. And so far, hopefully you've had on repeat Psalm 1, you've had Psalm 23, and you've had Psalm 46. As we've been walking through here, hopefully you've been planting those into your heart, you've been planting those into your life, and you've been walking through those each and every day. Speaking of songs, I don't know if you're like me, but have you ever tried to remember a song and you know you're with your buds and you're thinking about, you know, do you remember what was the name of that song? We were over at what's-his-name's house. I can't remember. It was this band. This band was awesome. Maybe it was a girl. I don't remember what. Maybe it was a girl that was singing it. I do remember it had this awesome guitar lick in it. Maybe you're like me. Maybe not. Maybe you do. Maybe you're the guy who just remembers, the woman who just remembers all the songs. I do know this. When I hear a certain song, it brings me back. I mean, I can remember what I'm doing. I can remember where I'm at. I can remember what's going on at that time. Songs are powerful. Songs mark our life. And what we hope is that, what I hope that today, Psalm 78 will mark your life. And one of the things that you're going to see this morning, all right, I want you to catch this. If you got a piece of paper, a pen, your thumb in your notes into your phone, your tablet, one of the things you're going to see today is this, is that we're not very far off of the ancient Israelites. The ancient Israelites had a unique ability to forget all that God had done. They couldn't remember what had happened, and it tended to lead them off in a different direction. And today, we're going to look at how we are like that and how, if we're not careful, it can lead us in directions that we don't want to be. But I do want you to hear this. There is grace, because none of us are perfect in this. None of us are perfect in walking out this psalm, but today what we get to see is the blessing, and what we get to see is the promise, is if we will remember and remind the coming generations of God's goodness and His grace, we're going to get to see all that could happen, all that could happen. Our bottom line today is this, it's remember and remind. It's remember and remind. And listen, like a good psalmist today, you're going to hear that over and over. I'm going to be repeating that over and over, that we are to remember and that we are to remind. So the very first thing I want you to write down, to help us remember, here's what God has done. God has given us and He has left us a word. He has left us a word. Let's begin reading in Psalm 78. We're going to read verses 1-4. Here's what He says. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. The psalmist starts out here in verse 1, and he has a phrase, and he says this. He says, give ear. Basically, what he's saying here is listen up. Hey, listen up. He wants to grab the attention, and he says this. Listen, I want you to listen and hear the stories. I want you to be able to hear the teachings. He even says, I want you to hear the word. If you see the teachings and the words of my mouth, circle that. What he's saying here is that I want you to remember all of God's greatness. I want you to remember how he has worked, how he has changed you, the stories of your life. Notice he says this. He says, I'm gonna open my mouth in a parable. He says, I'm gonna tell you stories. I'm gonna tell you stories. He says, I'm gonna utter dark sayings. Dark sayings here literally means riddles, like the riddles of life. You're not understanding life. We're going to teach you those things. We're going to teach you those. He says, I want you to remember them. He says, how did you remember them? You remembered them from your fathers. You have heard your fathers speak these things. And he says, I want you to listen up, and I want you to remember what those things are. He says, listen, if you want to really find life, then you need to remember what God has done. You need to remember how graciously he has moved you, how he has changed you, how he has saved you, how he has made your life new. He says, you need to remember those things. Now listen, whenever I ask you to circle the word there, teaching and the words of my mouth, this isn't just, it doesn't just terminate on God's word, but it's God's testimony of your life. What is it that he's done in your life? How is it that he has moved? How is it that he has saved you? How your family looks different today? Not just what he did in ancient past, but what has he done in present past in your life? Psalm 78, we're gonna read verses 1-8. We're gonna be going through there. When you start at verse 9, basically what happens here is the psalmist begins to go on, he's recounting the history of Israel. When they leave out of Egypt from slavery, what happened? And he recounts that because it was one of the greatest movements of the day. It was a marker on the people's lives. He begins to recount how literally God saved them, what it was that he did to lead them out across the desert, how he clothed them, how it is that he fed them, how it is that their sandals for 40 years never wore out, how he provided manna, how he gave them meat, how he gave them his word at Mount Sinai. He says, listen, that is the teachings. I want you to remember all of these ways that God graciously has changed our lives, how he's changed your life. He sent Moses to Egypt when they weren't even asking to be released. They didn't call for Moses. God sent Moses to release them. Have you ever thought about how God found you? He changed your life. You may not have even been looking for him, but he came in and you were captive and he set you free. The scripture says, hey, remember these teachings. Remember these stories. In fact, fathers, are you telling those stories to your children? Are you reminding your children? Deuteronomy chapter 30, the whole nation of Israel, they're about to walk into the promised land. They had wandered for 40 years. They're about to walk into the promised land. Moses is going to, he's addressing them for the last time. And he says, hey, listen up. Today, I want you to remember this. When you go into the promised land, you need to begin, fathers, you need to tell the stories. You need to remind all the children. You need to remind the coming generations of how your life has been changed. He says, you gotta be careful because when you get in there, there's gonna be all these other gods and you're gonna be tempted to wanna follow after them. You're gonna be tempted to be drug away and you're going to forget. And he says, but do not fall for it. He says, remember these stories and remind them to the coming generations. God had Moses write down all the law, all the stories, all the miracles, all the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books. God had Moses write those books down, you know, write those stories down. You know why? To help the nation and the people remember Remember his grace. Remember his goodness. Remember his teaching. Remember his word, so that they could remind the coming generations. But you know what happened? They got into the land and they became stable. They became wealthy. They got fat on the land and they began to follow all of the other little g gods. They forgot. They didn't remember. They didn't remember. They didn't remember and remind. In fact, Judges, the Old Testament book of Judges, has a repeating refrain all the way through it. It says this, that all of the people did what was right in their own eyes. Does it sound like today? Does it sound like today? Folks, listen, my hope and my prayer is this, is that we who have been changed by Jesus Christ, our lives are completely different. That we will not forget. We will not forget, but we will remember and remind the next generation. Yes, we need to be talking about his word. We need Bible study teachers. We need Sunday school teachers. We need small group leaders. We need people who are discipling in the word, but we also need people in the homes who are talking about how God had taken us when we were far away in a distant land serving another God. And he's changed us. We've got to remember what that was like so that we can remind the coming generation. Verse 4. Look at verse 4. The psalm writer encourages them. He says, listen, do not hide the word of the teachings from your kids. He says, but remind those coming generations. You know, one of the ways that we do that is by coming together. Listen, we can't do it all on our own. The Lord, he created a body of people, his church, that we come together. And when we come together, it is so encouraging to me right now to see families worshiping together in this room, in the family room. I know it's happening online. And they're worshiping together. Some of you are not able to be here right now because you're in a vulnerable situation. We encourage you. You stay safe. And as soon as you can, you come back. We want you here. But we gather together as a community to help us to remember and teach the next generation of followers of God. In our lives today, God has rescued each and every one of us. Those of us who have surrendered our lives to him, he's rescued us from the selfish sin of unbelief. He saved us from our own personal little kingdoms, and he has brought us into a whole new land. And yet, you know what happens oftentimes? We forget it. We forget. We begin to think this. In fact, you may have even told your children this. I know I've fallen prey to it. Hey, you can do whatever you want to do in life. You can be who you want to be. In fact, why don't you go out and you make your way in the world? Man up. Listen, put on your big boy clothes. Put on your big girl clothes and you go make it happen. Here's what I want you to know. Listen, self-reliance and God dependency are two opposite ends. And the only way we get to where God desires us to be is when we are remembering and reminding ourselves of the gospel that God is the one who has changed us and I am following his ways. And I can't tell my children, I can't tell the coming generations just what his word says. I have to show them and remember in my own life from where he has brought me. You see, I once was lost, but now I am found. I once was blind, but now I see. Listen, some of you in this room today, your testimony is this. My marriage was on the rocks. It was dying and God reconciled us. He enabled us to forgive one another. I was so bound by opioids and drugs, but I've been set free. I would set things before my eyes that didn't honor God, but today I am free and alive like no other time. Folks, do you realize that is the teaching and the work of God in your life? Those are the things that we remember and we tell the next generation so that they understand that God is good and he is powerful. You see, remembering the word, remembering the teachings, remembering the stories and the parables from one generation to the next. Folks, it's important. So God has left us a word to help us to remember. Number two, I want you to see this, is that God has also left us a witness. God has left us a witness. Verses 5-7 says this. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law. Now, this is the Ten Commandments here, all right? He appointed the law and all that came out of it. So he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded. You need to start underlining right here. Which he commanded our fathers to teach their children so that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise to tell them to their children. Verse 7, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Listen, the scripture here in verse 5 says that God left a testimony in Jacob. Jacob became the nation of Israel. His 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. And you, if you're giving testimony, what are you? You're a witness to something. So he has left a witness. Not only has he left a witness, but he's expanded. It's not just this teaching, all the grace that he's poured into our lives because we've lived out his principles. Now it says he's given a law. And he says that we as a testimony must remind the coming generation of what God desires for us. You see, listen, he reached down in grace and he saved us, and then he set us on a path and gave us his word. We didn't do anything to be saved, to be changed. He changed us. We responded when our eyes were open, and now he's given us his word. And he says, you need to be planting this into their lives. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 6, I want you to go back. This is kind of like a life verse for my wife and I. Deuteronomy 6, 4-9, beginning really at verse 6. Moses tells the Israelites, he tells them when he gets the word, he says, listen, you need to teach this to your children every day. And how does he say do it in verse 6-9? He says, when you get up, when you lie down, when you walk along the roadside, when you're eating breakfast, when you're getting ready to go to bed, he says, you need to put this all over your house. Put it on the door frames of your house, he says. What he's desiring here is that we would remember how God has changed us, how God has set us up as a people. He, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear this. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, do you realize that you are a testimony to your family and to the coming generations? Did you realize that today there are people in this room who are watching your lives, and they are the next generation and the next generation, and they're watching. Does your life measure up to what you talk about? Do you just talk about the word, or has your life literally been changed by the word? Men, verse 5, look at verse 5. Men in the room, I want your attention here real quick, all right? Listen, I'm about to go to preaching. Listen. Men, I want you to hear this. Have you ever wondered what God's will is for your life? If you've wondered that, I want you to circle verse 5. Here's what he says. Listen up, men. This is God's revealed will for your life. He says, you're to teach the next generation. You're to teach the next generation. That's what he's called us to do, men. Not only the generation in our house, but the generation that when we're discipling people, we are becoming spiritual fathers to others. He says, do not hide that from the coming generations, your children and the generations that you're discipling. Now, ladies, I want to make sure that you hear me real quickly, all right? Now then, ladies, you stay with me. This is not meant to minimize your role. This does not minimize your role with the word in your family. In fact, it's so important that Paul told one of his proteges, one of his disciples, Timothy, he said, remember that your grandmother and your mother, Lois and Eunice, they discipled you in faith. That's my story. I didn't have a father in my home who was pouring into me. I had a mother who was pouring into me. She found men in the church who would come alongside. Single moms, if you don't have a husband in your home that's following after the Lord, we want to come alongside you, and we want to help with that. But what this verse does, verse 5, is it amps up. It amps up the importance of men rejecting passivity and accepting responsibility to lead their families courageously to remembering the great works of God. Is anybody out here with me today? Notice the progression. He starts with the fathers. He said, fathers, first generation. Teach their children, second generation, so that their grandchildren, the third generation, will know that their great-grandchildren, the fourth generation, who he calls yet unborn, will know and rise up and tell their great-great-grandchildren, the fifth generation. Somebody better stop now. He's talking about five generations of life change. Because, fathers, we will not forget. We will remember the greatness of God. We will remember his word, and we will begin to remind our children what it means to follow after him. Do you realize that remembering and reminding and teaching this in our home and to those that are around us in our small groups, our Bible studies, those that we're walking with at work, do you realize that when we do this, we are pointing generations? We're talking 100 to 150 years from now. Generations can be changed because your life is making a difference today. Listen, I ain't angry, I'm excited. When I think about that my life can have impact. Listen, I've got a mom, first generation, who poured into me that now I'm pouring into Jordan and Peyton and Evan so that my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren who yet are unborn will one day turn around and do the same thing. And folks, I want you to hear this. Maybe you are a second or a third generation follower and you're thinking, oh, I only got a couple more. This thing only works if we all think like we're the first generation. You realize that if any generation stops, we break that chain. I want you to sit on that for a minute. And our job's not done when our children are raised up. Our job's not done. Listen, we continue to pour into those kids so that we can then pour into our grandkids. Grandparents, we need you pouring into that next generation. Charles Spurgeon, you know, he said everything in the world having to do with religion. Charles Spurgeon wrote about this passage. He says, the more parental teaching, the better. Ministers and Sunday school teachers were never meant to be substitutes for mother's tears and father's prayers. That's why we ask you all the time, invest in family worship in your home. Pour into your children. And why do we do this? Verse 7 says it. Verse 7 says, so that they will set their hope in God, that they might find the gospel and find real life. Number two, so that they will not forget the works of God, the deeds of God, not just what he did here, but what he has done here. And look at the last thing it says, so that they will keep his commandments, so that they would live sent. Listen, what you do in your home about helping people find life, what you do in your small group about helping people find life and live sent is more than what we do combined as an organization. This is about one brother telling his kids. This is about one mother telling her sister. This is about us pouring into the next generation. And then when we gather together, what they're hearing from the word from right here on this stage or whichever campus it is, what they're hearing backs up what you've already been telling them. You see the partnership? Do you understand what the partnership is? You see, we remember what God has done and then we remind the coming generations. So here's what happens. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, now then, what he's done already is he's left us a word, he's left us a witness, and now the third thing, quickly, the third thing that he's done to help us to remember is that he's left us a warning. He's left us a warning. Psalm 78:8 says this, that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast and whose spirit was not faithful to God, the songwriter. The songwriter left two positives. Here's what I want you to do. I've left you a word. I've left you a witness. And now he goes a little negative on us here. And he says, but I also leave you a warning. Don't be like the fathers. Don't be like your ancestors who forgot God. And he describes how that looked. He says, listen, they were a stubborn and rebellious generation. As Moses is leading the people out of Egypt from their slavery, they begin to grumble against God. Moses and God both call the people at different points stubborn, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, prideful, rebellious. You know what ended up happening? Because they didn't remember how graciously God saved them out of Egypt, because they didn't remind their children, did you realize that whole generation of fathers who left never saw the promised land? They never got to go. You know who went? It was the next generation and the next generation that Joshua said, listen, we're here today, and I want you to know we're going to be strong and courageous, and we're going to remember God's word. So often we do the same thing though, don't we? If we're not careful. So often don't we do the same thing? We talk about all kinds of things with our children. We talk about their sports. We talk about their grades. We talk about their friends. We talk about what all happened at school, but we neglect or forget. You get to choose to remember the goodness of God in our lives. And when we do that, we're short-circuiting the process. Now, I want you to hear this. There is grace. No one does this perfectly. Listen, this is not about perfection. This is about direction. It is about we're spending time sharing about Jesus, what he's done in our lives often, so that our kids and the coming generations of disciples that we're walking with know this Jesus is real. He's changed this person's life. I want that. This morning, you're either sitting in this room, the family room, or online, and right now, some of you are thinking this, I've kind of missed it. Listen, I didn't realize this. Listen, I didn't have anybody teaching me this. In fact, I didn't grow up in a home where people followed Jesus. I'm the first generation. I'm kind of learning this on the fly. Here's what I want you to know. Where do you start? Go home and start talking about Jesus in your home. Talk about how your life has been changed. Talk about how we didn't know how we were going to pay a bill, and he met that need. Listen, kids, wife, family, I had a relationship that was broken I didn't think could ever be fixed, and God reconciled that relationship like he's changed my life. You start talking about Jesus. It is never too late to remind the next generation about how God has changed your life, because if we forget, we won't remind. We have to stop, sit, and remember. God, you changed me. You've made me new. I remember when my life was lost and now I'm found. And we have to begin talking about it. Listen, all of us, I said it a minute ago, all of us have to be thinking along the lines of that we are the first generation. We're the first generation. Did you realize that? You're the first generation to make sure that there are four more generations. That's how the gospel continues. That's how the gospel continues. We remember and we remind the next generation in this room, online, in the family room right now. You're either married, single, you're a grandparent. I want you to hear this. We need you. We need you. We need you. But more than that, I want you to know the coming generation needs you. The Lord has brought children to this place whose parents do not know him or follow him. You're going, seriously? Yes. Yes. We need spiritual mothers and fathers and grandparents, spiritual brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles who will jump in with babies and children and students and say, listen, I'll walk with you. I'll be Jesus with skin on so that you can begin to hear what it means to follow Jesus. Here's how he changed my life. Here's what his word means in my heart. We need you. But more than that, these children need you. For 25 years, 30 years, this church has stewarded the next generation. And we want to continue to do that. And for us to do that, we need you to sign up and serve. We need you to do that. If you'll text SERVE to the number on the screen, someone will be in touch with you. And I wish I could tell you what all it looks like today. We're walking in times where we've never walked before. We need people who will say, listen, I'll go, I'll help, I'll serve, I'll do, I'll be involved. We need people who'll be willing to disciple the next generation. You may be 70. Could you begin to pour into someone who's 40 and 50? You may be 40 and 50. Would you pour into someone who's 20 and 30? You may be 20. Would you begin to pour into somebody who's younger than you? We need people who will remember and remind the next generation. Today, you're thinking as an adult in this room, and I've got to say this, okay? You're thinking, no, I really have missed it. My kids have grown. They've moved on. And there's a potential that you're feeling the weight of guilt right now. I want you to hear this. There is grace. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Your life has been changed. There is no condemnation, but I do want you to hear this. There is an enemy who is seeking to speak to you, to call you out and say, see, look, you failed. You failed. That is a lie of the enemy. And I want you to hear, it's not too late for you to begin talking about Jesus today with your kids. They need to hear that God's changed us. He's been faithful to us. He loves you. I'm praying for you. It may even be that you have now your grandkids. Begin pouring into your grandkids the gospel so that I can't tell you how many kids, how many parents are sitting in this room and will be in here the next time who have been impacted because of the next generation ministries here at this church. Their kids came to know Jesus and now they follow Jesus. It's that important. You begin to pour into those grandkids. Maybe you did everything you knew. Maybe you did everything you knew. You prayed, you took them to church, you read scripture with them, and they are not walking with Jesus today. You do not stop praying for them. I want you to hear this. We take the Proverbs principle of we are going to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. And we claim that, and we say, God, would you please remind them? Would you cause them to remember? And then you, fathers, you begin to pray fatherly prayers. Mothers, you begin to cry motherly tears out to God. And he is faithful. And then you be faithful. Because he's faithful, you be faithful. We have to remember and remind the next generation. That's what we're called to do. That's what Psalm 78 says. We will not hide it from the coming generation. Fathers tell the children, who will tell the children, who will tell the children, who will tell their children. Listen, what these people of the Bible, of the Old Testament, knew by faith, we know his name. His name is Jesus. And this passage, these things point to Jesus. Just as God, just as the psalmist says that God left a word, I want you to know this. God sent Jesus as the living word. John chapter 1 says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Just like the psalmist said, listen, he's left us a witness. God sent his living son, Jesus, to be a living witness for us. John 20, Jesus said that the Father has sent him. Jesus said in John 14, 9, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But he also, God sent Jesus as a living warning to us. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And he warned them and us today that no one gets to the Father except through him. No one gets to the Father except through him. And so today, I want you to hear this. You've never remembered Jesus because you've never known him. And the gospel's for you today. The gospel's for us in this room today also, that though we have fallen short of some of these principles that we've talked about, I want you to know that he stands there. The gospel of good news is that we are forgiven, we are free, and that we get the opportunity to start over. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus today, our desire more than anything is that you will know him and his goodness. If you're on this campus, the Smyrna campus, you're in the family room or in this auditorium, our pastors are gonna be out at the Next Steps area. We wanna talk with you about that if you're comfortable. Maybe you're not comfortable doing that, or you're online or in the family room right now. You can text Jesus to the number that's on the screen right now, and we will get in touch with you today. Some of you may be thinking, that feels a little weird. Should I do that? I want you to know that in the last 4 weeks, 6 people have texted in and said, I wanna follow Jesus. So it may be something that you're wondering about. I want you to know people are coming to know Jesus. They're wanting to know more about Jesus by doing that. We want to see you. Do not walk away from here without surrendering your life to him. We want to talk with you. Today, would you remember and begin to remind the next generation of his goodness, of his greatness, and how he's changed your life? If you're in this room, the family room, or you're online, I want us to pray together right now. Let's do that. Father, we love you and we honor you. God, we thank you for the privilege that you give us to be your sons and your daughters. We thank you for the privilege that you give us of remembering how good you've been to us. And God, I ask that you would cause us to remind. God, cause us to remind our kids, those that we're discipling, those who are coming behind us, may we leave generations who love you, who follow you, and faith you. We honor you today. Today, as we respond to you in singing and giving, may we do so out of a heart of gratitude and a heart of worship. It's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things today. Amen. Travis?